Pray with me. Spirit divine, open us up to your presence, to your movement, to your working in our lives, in this church, and in your world. So as we come to this moment, and your scriptures have been read and are now to be proclaimed, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Christian theologian and ethicist Dr. H. Richard Niebuhr lived the beginning of the 20th century and published a number of works, and one of them that he was best known for was a work called Christ in Culture, but he had another work that was published in 1941 that was titled The Meaning of Revelation. And Dr. Niebuhr kind of tried to examine and explain the difference between history as something that is lived and experienced versus something that is observed from a distance. And so he talked about, as the Christian church, what does it mean to exist in the world, and how do we discern between those external observations of things and those things that we're called upon as Christians, as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, to actually enter into and be a part of that story. We have him offering this up as the external being referred to as the landscape, and the internal being the inscape. And he says in the book where'd my quote go? There's no continuous movement from an objective inquiry into the life of Jesus to a knowledge of him as the Christ who is our Lord. Only a decision of the self, a leap of faith, a revolution of the mind can lead from observation to participation and from observed to lived history. Now let me explain more about what he's saying here. He's talking about the fact that knowing about something isn't the same as knowing and experiencing it. Having all of the facts, having all of the observation isn't the same as having it be a part of our lives and something that we participate in a way that changes us. And so this helps us as we consider the story this morning of the disciples on the Emmaus Road. The external, the landscape of things was that Jesus had lived. Jesus had gotten crossways with the officials of the time. They'd conspired together, and they put him to death. These journeyers on the Emmaus Road are talking about all of these facts. And the story tells us that as they were walking along, they encountered Jesus, and they began talking with him, and he said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Are you kidding? Where have you been? You haven't heard anything about what happened in Jerusalem?" And so they begin telling him about those events. We're still at the external. We're still those observers watching from a distance. And even those disciples, even those walkers on the road, had not yet made that leap themselves. They were a part of the story, but yet they weren't in it and living it. And so they began unfolding this story. And they talk about what happened to Jesus. They tell of the women going to the tomb. And they said that they were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they didn't see his body there, they came back and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who had said to them that he's alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Now, this is just a little side note, but the irony in some of these gospel stories is awesome. We've got disciples walking along with Jesus. We're told that their eyes were closed because they couldn't see him for who he was. But they're telling Jesus, yeah, some of the other disciples, they went to the tomb and they didn't see him. They're telling this to Jesus. They don't even see it, and he's right in front of them. And so they account this story as they walk along, and Jesus says, "Don't you know what all this means?" And he says, "Don't you see the connection with the prophets?" But the disciples still didn't get it. They had that external perspective. They had the facts. They had the information. They had what would have appeared on the front page of the Jerusalem Times in the newspaper and saying all of these events happened. They even had Jesus walking with them and telling them, saying, hey, you've told me about this Jesus and this Messiah. Let me tell you what the Bible has to say about it. So they had the observation. They had the scripture. But it still wasn't real for them. But the power of this story is when it becomes real. These were people that had spent time with Jesus. And it was in that act of Jesus blessing the meal that we're told that their eyes were opened. When Jesus took the bread, as he did at the Last Supper, as he probably did on countless occasions before, as he did when he multiplied the loaves and fishes on that hillside by the Sea of Galilee. He took the bread and broke it, and their eyes were opened, and it clicked, and it made sense, and suddenly they were aware of the fact that they were in and living the story. When you look up the word or the phrase eye-opening experience, there's a lot of different things that people will say it is. Enlightenment, awareness, observation. But one of the things that I really liked about one of the definitions said that there's a strong emotional response to a new learning or awareness or understanding. And to me, that's what an eye-opening experience is. It's one that makes us catch our breath and say, oh my goodness, I finally get it. I finally understand. I finally see something that I hadn't seen before. And the thing about eye-opening experiences is that usually all of the puzzle pieces, all of the information, all of the facts have been there right in front of us all along. But we're seeing it, really seeing it, for the first time. That's exactly what happened to those disciples on that road to Emmaus. They were witnesses firsthand to those events in Jesus' life. They were there. They knew the scriptures. But it was that close, personal remembrance of that time spent with Jesus when their awareness, their understanding, their eyes were truly opened to what was going on. Now, I have a pretty fanciful imagination, and when I try to interpret and make sense sometimes of some of these stories, my mind goes to the movies and different things that I've seen to find parallels or analogies. And when I talk to you about us actually entering into this story, there's a movie that my children have watched more times than I could probably count. Anybody seen Mary Poppins? Who hasn't, all right? Okay, but we won't ask who hasn't. But in Mary Poppins, there's that scene where Mary Poppins takes the children to the park, and the chimney sweep has been doing the chalk drawings on the sidewalks, and they're looking at them and appreciating and observing all of them, and then they take that leap and jump in to the picture and become a part of the picture and a part of the story, and they experience it firsthand. The Christian faith is much like that. That we have the scriptures. We have these stories of the life of Jesus that we read and we hear, like the story of Emmaus or the disciples gathering in the upper room behind locked doors after Jesus' death. We have stories of Jesus standing on the hillside and teaching and preaching, and stories of people coming to him and being healed. We have stories of, my children were just talking about this one the other day, the paraplegic that was lying on his mat, and his friends carried him to Jesus and peeled back the roof to lower him in where Jesus was. And we can read these and we can study over them and we can pull out other resources that help us to say, okay, what does this word mean in Greek and what does this one mean? And we can look at all of this very academically. But the invitation is to step into the story, to become a part of the story, and imagine what it must have been like walking down that dusty road onto the way to Emmaus. What were they thinking? What were they feeling? What motivated them to be walking away from Jerusalem after everything that had just happened? Maybe it was fear. Maybe they felt like they needed to put some distance between themselves and where all of these things had happened to Jesus, because maybe they were next. Maybe it was a hot day. Maybe they were thirsty. Maybe they were coughing on the dust being kicked up by the people in front of them. But they couldn't take their minds off of all of those things that had just happened. And they were talking about it. And that evening, as they sat down to dinner, this stranger became very real to him in a way that he had never been, because it was Jesus. Where have your eyes been opened? Where have you had a startling, eye-opening experience of who Jesus Christ is in your life? We've mentioned the mission trip that the youth are going to be going on. We've talked about church camp, and I know that many of you have had your own experiences going to Epworth and other places. Some of you have had an Emmaus experience on an Emmaus walk. But sometimes we have to step back from all of the things that we have going on in our lives. Sometimes we need to go to a place, literally or figuratively, where we're more open to experiencing Jesus in an eye-opening way. Maybe for you, the reality of who Jesus is was something that your eyes were open to laying in a hospital bed and praying to get better. Or maybe you were the one kneeling at that bedside of a loved one offering your own prayers. Maybe it was that person knocking on the door at just the right time to come in and comfort you after you've been through a tough time. But this story of Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, and rose again, is one that we can't just observe from a distance. It's one that we have to actually take a step, a leap of faith, to become a part of. And that quote that I shared from Dr. Niebuhr, what he is saying is that there is no continuum of movement back and forth from the external observation and the internal reality. That there's no way to get from here by following some sequence of intellectual practices. That you can't think your way from the external to becoming a part of this story. It's more like the kids taking that leap with Mary Poppins and saying, here we go. And so the invitation for us on this journey of faith, as the people of God, as those who have heard about the resurrection, who have heard about the empty tomb, who have heard about the new life that is possible, faith becomes that point when we just say, I'm going to jump in. I'm going for it. And we find ourselves in the midst of God's story, in which we're one of the characters and not just an observer. Have you had that experience? Have you had that moment of clarity, of reality, of understanding that yes, this story is real, this story is powerful, and this story has and will continue to change my life? It's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's what it means to be a disciple. Jesus, when he called his disciples, called them to follow Believing is a part of our journey of faith. We believe the stories. We believe the things that are taught to us. We believe the things that we are shown. But it becomes very real when we roll up our sleeves and take that step and begin to follow. Because there are many who believe and say, yes, I believe that those stories are true. I believe the facts as they've been relayed to me. But if we don't act upon them, if our eyes aren't opened by us taking that step and moving into the story, we may be stuck. We may be at a point where we can't quite grow in the way that God needs us to, in the way that God calls us to. And so we become participants. And we come and we sit at Jesus' feet. And we gather around the table and we celebrate this holy meal of communion. And we remember that in the breaking of the bread that Christ is revealed and is present and with us. We remember it in those sacred moments around our family tables of sharing a meal together, or as Nicole mentioned, when we gather as a church family downstairs around the tables, that we experience Christ's presence in our midst. We experience it when we go and work at Rock Solid or the soup kitchen or the food pantry together, when we go and be the body of Christ for this world. We participate in what God is doing. When we gather in Sunday school or a small group or a Bible study and open these pages and begin talking as the disciples on that road did about what these things mean to us, Christ begins to break through and break in and become a part of our lives in a way that maybe we've not experienced before. May each of you be intentional about placing yourselves in those circumstances, those opportunities, those locations in which you are able to have those encounters with Jesus in a way that makes him real. And may your eyes be opened through those experiences with Jesus. May you no longer just observe, but may you walk with him and know him. Amen. This morning we continue to worship through the prayers that we pray. And so we lift up our prayers for our world, our community, our church, and one another. I want to invite you now to enter into this time of prayer with me, and let us take several moments of silence.